So let me begin with a simple question. Do you know who you are? Not your name, not your job, not your background, not your successes, or even your failures. I'm asking, who are you from God's perspective? And that's a question we must deeply understand, embrace, and never ever diminish. Because once God calls you and sanctifies you by the gift of His Holy Spirit, your identity changes. Why? Because your character changes, your walk changes, your heart changes with the laws of God written on them. Who you are is no longer defined by the world, is defined by God. So I ask again, do you know who you are? It's a very important question, because whenever God's people forget or minimize or devalue their identity, they always drift from Him. And Scripture shows us that again and again, through the example of Israel, that they would drift. They forgot their identity. God knew that if Israel forgot who they were and what He had done for them, they would drift. So He told them plainly who they were in His eyes. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy 7, and we'll go through verse 6, 7, and 8. And as we read this, you'll see that God's defining a new identity for the children of Israel. So if you turn there, we'll read this together, or I'll read it and you can follow along. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. And there's many places we could go to show you this, but here's a good example of this. Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for Himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because He would keep the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh." So from God's point of view, their identity was this: you're holy, you're chosen, you're loved, you're redeemed, you are My special treasure. And He reminds them this was not based on how humans determine greatness, not because they were great and not because they were many, but because God loved them and kept His promise to Abraham and as well as Isaac and Jacob. He brought them out from Pharaoh's hand. He gave them a new identity as a redeemed people, and they were to never forget it. Yet, whenever Israel forgot that identity, they drifted from God and from His laws, which cannot be detached. Both God, you can't have God and His laws detached. They can't be separated. They go together. And now, there is a decisive moment in Scripture that shaped Israel's identity forever. Now, in Genesis 32, as you recall, Jacob was wrestled with God, and it marked something very significant in Jacob's character and his identity. Jacob, whose name meant supplanter, schemer, one who grasps, had lived his life relying on his own cleverness. He manipulated Esau. He deceived his father. Even though God had chosen to go, the promises would go through him and receive blessings, Jacob kept trying to make it happen through his own strength. Now, years later, he's returning home from working for Laban, his uncle, and he hears Esau is coming with 400 men. Now, he doesn't know if it's peace or revenge. For the first time, Jacob realizes, I can't scheme my way out of this. So he sends everyone ahead and he's left alone. And that night, he wrestles, as it says, as the one we know who he became Jesus Christ, with God until daybreak. And God touches his hip, and it puts it out of joint. And at that point, Jacob cannot win by strength anymore. And he clings. He clings on to God, the person he's wrestling with. And he says, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And it was at that time that God gives him a new name. He says, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have prevailed with God. So he has a new name, a new identity. He's a new man, no longer a schemer, but now he's one who clings to faith. And Scripture tells us something also very interesting about the children of Jacob, now the children of Israel. And they did something to remember this new identity. This name changed to Israel. The night that Jacob had his hip socket popped out of his hip. So that was something they wanted to remember. It was a very significant thing for them. And that was in the time that Jacob's name was changed. So we read in Genesis 32, verse 32, it says, therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank. And that comes from, and so the answer is, why is that? Well, so they would never forget the night God transformed their father and gave them as a whole, the descendants, their identity. They were called the house of Jacob by history, but the children of Israel by transformation. And God had to remind them of that on a regular basis, of who they were. He did not want Israel, the children of Israel, to ever forget who they were. So in Exodus, let's see another place for this, in Exodus 19, verses 3 and 6. We see God reminding them of who they were by using the name Jacob, and then who they were, but who they are now. So if you go to Exodus 19, verse 3, and we'll read this together, it says, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob. So notice he uses the word house of Jacob here. But tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So in Scripture, we often see the term house of Jacob used to reflect their natural historical identity, while children of Israel highlights their spiritual covenant identity as a people transformed by God, seen that way. Their identity as children of Israel. So first remember, he says, I brought you to myself. And he references the covenant agreement. He says, obey my voice, and you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. This was their identity as the children of Israel. 40 years later, God is still reminding them of this identity and not to forget it. All through the book of Deuteronomy, God says, remember, do not forget. Remember, do not forget. It's really the theme of Deuteronomy. Remember, do not forget. In Deuteronomy 6, in verse 6 through 9, he told them to teach his words to the children. Talk about them at home. Bind them on their hands, right on their doorposts. So he has this thing, you gotta teach your children over and over again, and the commandments and the laws. And you put it there so you can always see it. Why? Why was that? Because God's laws weren't just commands. They were identity markers, who they were. And when the children asked in verse 20, if you go to Deuteronomy 6 and verse 20, it says, when they ask, why do we do these things? God says to them this. So we'll go, if you were there, Deuteronomy 6, verse 20 says, when your son asks you in time to come, saying, what is the meaning of these testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded you? Then you shall say to your son, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and the Lord showed signs and wonders before your eyes. So he's reminding them, great and severe against Egypt, Pharaoh, and all his household. Then he brought us out of there, and he might bring us in to give us the land of which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord your God for our good always. So everything was for their good, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. Then it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all these commandments before the Lord our God as he has commanded us. So God tells them, tell your children, tell your sons and daughters the testimonies, including the statutes and the judgments that God commanded, were reminders. Now, these were reminders when asked, what is the meaning of these things? Well, it's a reminder, first of all, that we were slaves in Egypt. But the law brought us out with a mighty hand. It was a reminder, never forget who you were, but never forget what God did, never forget who you are now. And that's defined who you are now by defining by obeying God and his commandments, statutes, and judgments. God's laws and how they were to apply them day-to-day life were meant to be reminders of who they were and what their identity was, and to maintain their identity, right? They weren't going to maintain their identity if they didn't obey God's laws. Now, let me show you one example of this. It's a bit long in one way, it's 10 verses, but in these verses, the law and how it was applied would remind them of what God did for them and their new identity. Now, this is the household of Jacob, known now the children of Israel, and how they were to live this new identity they have. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12. Again, we'll read about 10 verses here. But you'll see a lot of interesting things here. And it points back, that God's law would always point back to what God had done for them, but who they were now. Who they were now. Deuteronomy 10, verse 12 says, and now Israel. So notice that he uses the word Israel. This is their new name. It's who they were supposed to be. The prevailers, the one who prevailed by hanging on to God. What does the Lord your God require of you? Well, that's a good question. What does the Lord require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. Right? It's all for good. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens. Sometimes we say there's three heavens. Well, here we have at least two mentioned here. Indeed, heaven and the highest heavens belong to the Lord your God. Also the earth with all that is in it. The Lord delighted only in your fathers to love them. And he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day. Verse 16, therefore, and this is a very interesting statement if you look at this, therefore circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, right? He's therefore. So therefore, for them to do. Take note here is what the point of this is. Take note of this. Therefore, love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. You shall fear the Lord your God, you shall serve him, and to him you shall hold fast. There's the hold fast again. and take oaths in his name. He is your praise. He is your God, who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Your fathers went down to Egypt with 70 persons, and now the Lord your God has made you as the stars of heaven in multitude. So a lot of spiritual elements within, you might say, the old covenant. As we read this, that what do we see? Many of these things we just read come through into the new covenant. That new identity cannot be separated from God's law. So the God's laws and a new identity are tied together. You're to love the stranger as a reminder of who they once were. And they were to hold fast to God and serve and love and fear God. Here God calls Israel by their new identity, Israel. And he says, I've made you as the stars of heaven in multitude. You know, started out really as with one person, Abraham. And by the time they went to Egypt, there were 70 in the count that's used there that went down to Egypt. And we know that it multiplied far beyond 70. And it got, you know, and it's the stars of heaven. And in many ways, if we understand what God is saying here, it really is gone way beyond what we can probably even count if we understand the full commitment to what God's saying there. But anyway, he's telling them this. Yet over and over, Israel forgot God's laws and forgot their identity and drifted from God. Now, let's come back to our identity. Well, I'm saying our identity in Christ. Now, we're under the new covenant, but God does the same thing for us. We have a new identity when called out and put into the body of Christ and called out and called the assembly of God, the called out assembly of God, which is the church of God, the ecclesia. Let's turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. And this is a scripture I think is pretty fairly well known, but let's read it in context of what we just went over. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. And Peter writes here, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Does that sound familiar? Did we just read something similar to that? He says, you're chosen, a holy nation, special, a royal priesthood, God's own. And all things that are packed into this verse here, these two verses. This is the identity in Christ that defines a new creation in Christ. And in Galatians 4, verse 6 and 7, we read about the new identity through Christ. Let's turn to Galatians 4 and read verses 6 and 7. Go to Galatians 4, chapter 4, and we'll read verses 6 and 7. So here we see another aspect of the identity in Christ within the new covenant, having laws written on your heart, who you are, how God sees you. Galatians 4, verse 6, Paul writes this, and because you are sons, right? Sons. God has sent forth his spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So we see something very different here, relationship with the Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, and certainly not a slave to sin, and slave to the lust of the world. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. Right, a son, and you can, you know, a child, a son and daughter, if you want to use that term, a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So think about that. You're not a slave to sin. You're not defined by your past. You're not abandoned. You're a child or a son of God, and you're an heir of God through Christ. That's your identity. It's amazing what is being said there. Let's go to Titus 2. Titus 2, and here we see Paul repeats this identity this new creation in Christ, as we're saying, as Paul says. Titus 2, verse 11. I mean, and in here is a lot of excellent thoughts, understanding, truth of how this all happens. Titus 2, verse 11. Paul writes, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Talking about Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, teaching us that denying all ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. So he's talking about a new identity here. Here's your old identity, here's your new identity. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself. This is what Christ is doing. His own special people, zealous for good works. So he says, you're a special treasure. You're his child. You're redeemed. You belong to him. That's not small. That's not ordinary. That is extraordinary. When God gives you this identity for a purpose, to live differently, to shine as a light, to be overcomers, to be a kingdom of priests, to belong in his family, and to become his identity. So I ask again, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? In many ways, we're like Jacob, learning not to prevail by our own strength, but to prevail by clinging to God, holding fast to God. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, if anyone is in Christ, and that's the term, in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we see a new creation, a new identity. And just as Jacob received a new name, Scripture tells us that overcomers in Christ will too. Listen to what we read in Revelation 3, verse 12. If you'd like to turn there with me, there's a few places we could turn to, but I'll just turn to Revelation 3, 12 to see this. Revelation 3, 12. He says, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Already a new identity. And he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. So the overcomers, the prevailing ones, the ones who are victorious over self, Satan, society, and sin, marked with God's name. Citizens of the New Jerusalem, bearing Christ's new name. Why a new name? Why a new name? Why a new name? It's important for us to think about that. Why a new name? Mr. DeMergent kind of answered the question in his sermonette, or his split sermon, I should say. He kind of gave us the answer already, so I appreciate that. But why a new name? Because his character has been formed in them. God and Christ's identity has become their identity. So, brethren, let me ask you one last time, do you know who you are? Not what your past says you are, but who God says you are. Chosen, holy, redeemed, loved, his special treasure, his son, an heir, an overcomer. May we never forget, may we never minimize it, and may we live every day in the identity of being in Christ. Brethren, do you know who you are?